morning, I wanted to use the opportunity to recap the theme for the week, which was diving into friendship with God. When you think of friendship, go back to your own childhood. Think about who was your first friend. What are some of your memories of that friendship? Do you still have that friendship? When you think about friendship, what are some of the most important qualities you look for in a friend? When you think of God and friendship, what comes to mind? Maybe not always in the same category, huh? But just back to that idea of friendship that we're being asked to consider in this fast-paced, hurried life where we can grab our groceries, check our email, and check our checking account balance all while standing in line at Walmart. In a digital age of 1,000 acquaintances, in this ragged and rushed and weary existence where you need a vacation after your vacation, how do you take time purposefully to cultivate deep, abiding friendships? What does this look like? Especially just before you even think of friendship with God. I read this week this guy wrote, nobody talks about Jesus' greatest miracle, having 12 close friends in his 30s. Jesus seems to be unusually good at friendship and really valued it. And his attitude, as we look at it in Scripture, seems to have been somewhat different to the dominant attitudes in modern Western culture. And so it does, the whole idea invites us to stop, reflect on friendship according to God. And what does Jesus say and think about friendship? And the Bible uses all kinds of imagery, relational imagery, whether it's Father God or Christ in the church, Christ and marriage, Christ as brother. And with Abraham, he uses the word friend. And so clearly, at the center of it is this very important and abiding relationship. To recap this morning, we're going to use the format that we used in VBS, and we're going to have these Bible buddies that we dove into the creation of sea. And as the Bible will say this in Psalm 19, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And it means that creation testifies to its creator. And so a general revelation speaks of God in the creative sense and to his character. And so we're going to look at the Bible buddies that they used and some actual testimony from the creation itself, then some narratives, mostly from the Old Testament, followed by the New Testament in Christ, and then application, all under this idea of friendship with God. And so you walked in here this morning with a concept of your relationship with God. And I want to focus specifically on the idea of a friend because of Christ and that is offered. And so one thing that the VBS week offers is this immersion experience, everything from all of the decorating and two hours of every day where you're immersed, whether it's in these science experiments or whether it is the Bible story or the games or the memorizing of the scripture, But in all of this, it's an immersion experience where encountering God and meeting in his word. And so, and another reinforcement of friendship takes time. Friendships are cultivated in quality time where friends get to know each other. So I can't say that I knew a lot about frogfish, dolphins, seals, whale sharks, and octopuses. But after taking the dive into Scooby VBS this week, I learned more, and you will learn a few things this morning as well. But a relationship with God is the same way. Taking time to listen and learn and experience a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by immersing yourself in the ocean of God's word is where God is revealed. So, the first creature that I will introduce to you this morning is Tad. Tad is a frogfish. How many of you are familiar with frogfish? All right, well, just a clue, they don't look like that. Okay, if you go, so, but frogfish, you can see he's yellow there, but the thing about frogfish is they blend in, and there's all different kinds, and it's usually hard to spot because they just blend in. But if you look, they're real, and you can see them. And Tad, go back to Tad, is the reminder that we had Bible buddies, that general creative sense that is to remind us that God is a friend who is real. Pretty important quality in the nature of friendship is that they're real. And but sometimes treating God like he's not there. And this is the Old Testament story that we had, and you saw that in the video regarding Elijah. And if you're not familiar with the story of Elijah, it's probably roughly 800 years before Christ. And but it was a time when the northern kingdom of Israel was very much just worshiping the god of their surrounding neighbors, and whose name was Baal or Baal, and really that was very similar in some respects to the other nations. They had different names for it, but it was reflecting a god of the people who didn't know God, but they claimed God, and that it was their own projection and conception of what God is like. And the Israelites were worshiping and trusting this Baal rather than God, but they continued to claim God as their God, even though they acted like he really wasn't there. And so there was this drought for 3 years that there was, it was famine, it was a desperate time, and the prophet Elijah, whose name actually means Yahweh is my God, as Yahweh's prophet. And so then he went to them and he said this. And this is from the New Living Translation. He stood in front of the people and he said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions?" Because they were like blaming God, but actually running after the God everybody else was running after, which is a projection of their own desires. And he says, "If it is the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people were completely silent. And so this confrontation that happened where because it was a drought, and then they were called to Mount Carmel, which is this highest peak in Israel, and he called the 400 prophets of Baal to be there who were sponsored by the evil queen and king. And he said, "You guys go first and call down, fire from heaven to consume your sacrifice." And of course, nothing happened. And then when it was his turn, he had them pour all this water all over the sacrifice, which in a time where water was scarce, and he drenched it. And then God ended answering Elijah and answered with fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice in a way that people were like, "Whoa, clear cut. that Yahweh is God. And it was this clear and dynamic victory, and Elijah expected this great revival that God manifested himself and showed without a doubt, and yet he ended up running for his life because the queen said, you know, that you'll be dead tomorrow if I have anything to say about it. And he ran a long ways into the southern kingdom, but in this time, it was very much a time of depression for him. And he ran to this cave. And again, here, God meets him there. And the kids, I think there were some skits where they went through this, where he wasn't in this great wind or this great earthquake. He wasn't there, but there was a still, small whisper. And then God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Oh, cue the country western song, because he's going to sing about how bad everything is. And I'm the only one who left. And in this thing, but God says, no, that's not the case. But God meets him there, where in the middle of the nothingness. And that friend who is real. And see, sometimes that we can act like a frogfish. And the frogfish means you don't see it because they blend in their surroundings. And God's people are called to be a light to the world. And so just blending in like the rest of the world, you can't see them. But God is the frogfish in a way that he is there even when you don't. He is there. He is real. And if you seek him just like the frogfish, you can meet him there. But there's this importance about being open. Open with him. And John 15:15, Jesus said this. Going to the New Testament, he said, now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. Jesus is talking about a friendship is a friend who is real. His friend is real in the sense of he says, I am. Something new is happening where he says, I am, you're no longer servants, because the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. I'm going to make known what my Father has made known, and I'm going to make it made known to you. And there's an opening, there is a transparency and an opening up. And so being even a friend who's real. And how, you know, you can all have friends who maybe keep somebody at arm's length. They don't really let you know how they're doing, right? And this is where he's a friend is, no, who's real, he's there. And there's also an openness where he opens up. And it's a question of saying that, am I being open? Am I being open with him? Am I being real with him? Because Jesus, when he comes and he's real with us, he opens up in the sense of if we're going to listen to him, and that he's going to, as he opens up about who he is and why he came, he taught the people they needed to identify him. Why Jesus came, and he needed to he brought a message of repentance. John 6:69 was the memory verse that they memorized, and it was, we believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. The context of that verse is interesting because it was a time when Jesus was being real with them in the sense that he had compared himself to the bread that came down from heaven that fed the Israelites when they left Egypt and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. God fed them with this manna that literally the Hebrew word manna means what is it? They didn't know what it was. And that God provided them. And Jesus says, well, I'm the true manna. And that he said that unless, and that's, we're going to remember that today. And he said, in fact, unless you eat, my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. He said, if you don't, drink that, he said, then you have no part in me. And then many disciples said this. This is a very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? And it said at this point, many of the disciples turned away and deserted him. And so in the sense of being real, a friend who's real, and are you one of those friends to your own friends who's real? And what I mean is, do you tell them what they want to hear, or do you love them enough to be real with them? And that's in a friendship with God, are there areas of your life that are closed off? That no, we don't go into that room, Lord. I have grandkids in our house this week, and there are some, no, you cannot go in there. You cannot go in there. And it's like there's sometimes that our temptation of areas in our life, like, oh, no, Lord, you can't come in there. That's best. We'll keep some distance here. And so that being that real. Finley is a dolphin. And so beyond being real, the dolphins remind us that God is a friend who loves. And why not? You're using in the sea imagery. Who doesn't love dolphins, right? Well, there's something more about dolphins that, as far as the creative sense, is that they actually are very social and they live together in these pods where there's a lot of important relationships where they're looking after one another and cooperating to catch food, raise their young, and defend them from predators. And so this was our under the sea world creature to remind us, to testify back to God as far as that he's a friend who loves. And interestingly, and Chris already shared this, you know, when you think about Old Testament stories that best, if you want to talk about the love of God and friendship, which story from the Old Testament would you come up with? Well, the story that we went through this week was Jonah. Jonah. And it's not that the fish loved Jonah so much that he just swallowed him. And we tend to think of food that way. But no, this is, and this was referenced. But he said, the Lord said, in the story of Jonah, where he was sent as a prophet, and the Bible contrasts him, Jesus, as the greater Joseph, or the greater Jonah, because Jonah was called, God said, to go preach to this city of Nineveh, who was the arch enemy and a world power that was ruthless at the time. And they're known for their cruelty, even by historical standards. And God told Jonah, go there and tell them I'm going to destroy the city in 40 days unless they repent. So Nineveh's that way. So Jonah, being a prophet of God, went this way. I am the opposite direction. I'm going to get on a boat and I am going to go. Getting on a boat and we're going to row and we're going to go because Jonah is not going where he's saying. Well, why? I mean, Who doesn't want to miss a chance to tell the enemies are going to burn? Because he knows. He knows something about his God, Yahweh, that merciful, slow to anger. The Hebrew word for slow to anger means long nose. Long, and it was like, because when a person's really mad, everything turns red on their face. The last thing to turn red is their nose. Well, his nose is really, really long. Why? Because it takes him a long time. That was the way they spoke about God. And they were entrusted with who God was. And he was like, he didn't want to. Well, if you know the story and you saw the slide, he got thrown over, swallowed by a fish who actually ended up, if you think about it, fish actually provided him an opportunity to live. But got burped out. Went and preached to Nineveh, and they repented. And he went outside the city hoping that they hadn't and watching it to burn, and God relented. And he was underneath, God caused this vine to grow up, and it provided shade for him. And so he was sitting in the nice creature comforts of the shaded plant, waiting for his enemies to get rocked by the wrath of God. Is there anybody here this morning that has people in their mind that are they're just waiting for them to get rocked by the wrath of God? Oh no, Pastor. I'll bet. Mm-hmm. And there he sat, and then this is where the scripture comes. The Lord said to him, "You feel sorry about the plant," because the plant died over, and he was really upset that it died and no longer had this nice shade. And he was upset about it. He said, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all of the animals." Interesting quote there, all about the animals. But even the animals, he's more concerned about a plant and the creature comfort of that. "Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?" And it's a reminder of a not only God's heart, but you know, Jesus is going to be the greater Jonah, because everything as far as the contrast from Jesus to Jonah, that he came willingly to enemies of God, that the human race thumbed rather than to lovingly receive God and his lordship over our life, said, "We'll go do our own thing." And we had enemies of God. And yet Jesus came willingly. He came willingly. And in the same way, he spoke. And when Jesus came, he brought a message of repentance. First thing he went out preaching, Matthew 4:17, "Repent! Change your mind. Turn your life around. Turn back to God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Yeah, he's the king. It is right there. And he said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, "The men of Nineveh," speaking to this story, "will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it." He said, "For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." In Luke chapter 13, 3 and 5, "Unless you repent, you all will all likewise perish." His ministry was the same, similar to Jonah in the sense he was calling to repentance, but lovingly, wanting to see people. And he willingly spoke God's word. He both willingly and lovingly spoke God's word of repentance. And he speaks it to us today. And he willingly gave his life so that we might live. And Jesus said this. He said, "There's no greater love than one that lays down his life for his friends." And he calls those who love him to do the same. In John 13:34, Jesus said this, and this was their memory verse, "Just as I have loved you, you should love one another," or love each other. And as 1 John 4:19 echoes this, he says that where he writes, "We love because he first loved us." It is a love that you cannot love others with the love of Christ without first receiving his. And that love is as one who is accepting him and being real with him and saying, "Yes, I need the love of a Savior, because I am a sinner." And in the same way that, in the way that he offers that love, and then he says that we ought to love each other in the same way that he has loved us. Hear the context of these verses in John chapter 15. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." Or you could say, "Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." Reminding, a friendship with God is still, he's still God. "But if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. So that other-centered, that love does. And going back to the thinking of Jonah under that vine, I've always wondered, thought about what kind of vine grows up that fast, being my agronomy background, and like what kind of, and this whole thing that he's so obsessed about this plant that is providing him nice comfort. And, why is he so bent out of shape about that? And God's saying, these are people. And you're mourning the loss of this plant that you had nothing to do with. And it just made me wonder, what of our own pursuit for the creature comforts? What ways can our love for the creature comforts of life come at the expense of the people that God is calling us to love? That I'm like, no, I'm not willing to give this up, or I'm more upset, that something's not working right in my life, or I've lost some creature comfort in my life, and I'm missing the greater things that are in front of me. So learning that God is a friend who's real, who loves, and learning to say, does my idea of friendship and that loves in a way that God has loved me, how do you need to be challenged by that request? Don't let that bounce off you. And so when you hear Jesus says, as I have loved you, you personally this morning, if he is him, and he says, and as I have loved you, you should love each other. And allow... it doesn't return void. Allow the Spirit to speak to you as for you personally in that verse, and that are you willing to, and say, is he saying, I'm sending you this way? And you're like, okay, I'll pray again because I'm going to be like Jonah, and I'm not. I can buy a Bible verse that tells me I should go this way and not do that. You can, just so you know that. You can find a verse, because the people that opposed Jesus had lots of Bible verses. Lots of them. And so, trusting. I think we've had imaginary friends. Some of you have imaginary friends. You don't realize it because they're a bot on Facebook or something like that. They're not even real. And so, but I wanting some a friend who's real and real with you, but also one that loves. Sure, but also a fisher of the seal. As far as I didn't know that much about seals, but here the seal fisher is the seal who taught us that God is a friend you can trust. A little bit of God's creative creation testimony. The thing about you go into some of these exotic creatures and you just say, God is so amazing. I mean, it's his creativity, but the seals. Seals learn, as far as trusting to their fur to keep them warm, they had two layers of fur. One's an outer coarse, and then there's an inner fine layer that keeps their skin totally dry. Totally dry. It's a very unique fur coat. And what's interesting is, so it insulates and it keeps them warm besides their blubber in chilly waters. They dive deep. Okay, I used to, I see seals at SeaWorld with a ball on their nose. That's my pictures of seals, but I did not know they dived as deep as they do. So, like, I think in the video that they watched, they told us, like, 5 football fields deep. Now, that is a long way. That's 500 yards. It's probably, like, 1,500 feet. It gets pretty deep down there. Very dark, very deep, and so they have excellent vision, and then their whiskers are sensory to where they're able to get food, which is really important. And the two things that the seal kind of points us to the scripture is because they dive into very deep and dark places in Arctic waters, as far as A, that they're gonna be able to see when things get really dark, and be fed with what they need to be fed with. And the second thing is that that's trusting that they're gonna be able to see in the dark. But the other thing is the seal pups, their moms can be gone a long time. You're diving 1,500 feet, it's gonna take a while. And so they talked about the seal, how the pups know mom knows their pup's voice, similar to that shepherd and the voice. And they'll be very patient, trusting their mom's coming to get them. And so all of that, you know, and you can see the imagery where it's coming from and where it's going to, as far as, are there times in your life that you get plunged into dark places where life is, you know, and it's hard to see. It's hard to see, you know, where, especially when you're talking about trusting. When you're talking about trusting God in the sense of saying, I'm going to be able to see in the midst of this, and I'm also going to be patient because I can't, even if I can't see it right away. And what better imagery, what story than in Mark chapter 4, where that God is a friend we can trust. And this is from the storm. There was a fierce storm that came up. It said high waves were breaking it onto the boat, began to fill it. You saw the kids telling that story in the video. And where is Jesus?
He is asleep
in the boat. And it began to fill with water. He was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Interesting detail that they add there. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" What I love about the scriptures, and these were the 12. Okay, these were the ones that have been spending time with Jesus. They wake him up, and I'm sure there's sitting like, don't wake him up, don't wake him up. You know, they didn't wake him up right away. Don't wake him up, don't wake him up, don't wake him up. Okay, you know, and this is kind of like, you know, and I don't know if this is similar to me this morning trying to get the video. You know, I'm not going to bother him, not going to bother him, not going to bother him, not going to bother him. Okay, I'm praying. You know, but as far as like, okay, but they're asking, but the thing they ask him, they didn't say, get up and stop it. No, they woke him up and said, don't you care? It's hard to trust somebody who you think doesn't care about you. And here are the 12 that are learning to spend, and they're spending time with him, and they're in this immersed relationship, this friendship with Jesus, and they're just like, do you not care? Have you ever felt like that in times in your life that you just kind of like, really? Really? I mean, it's so important in a relationship, if you're going to be real and you're going to have a love exchange, that you can be real with him and just be honest on this side of heaven. If we're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, yeah, that the answer for you is yes. There's going to be times where you can feel that way, and that you can learn from them as they did, because so powerfully he says he woke up, he got up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence! Be still. Suddenly the wind stopped. There was a great calm. And then he asked them, why are you afraid? Notice, I mean, the fear, there's nothing that will bring out ugliness in our life is fear. Fear. And we've seen plenty of examples in the last 4 years with a lot of things that the world has gone through. But as far as fear and faith, is like if fear is up here, there's very little faith. And why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And this imagery is coming from the Old Testament, and part of their response was, who is this that? Because they knew the scriptures that the wind and the waves respond to is Yahweh. And it was like, but if you're willing to encounter him in those moments and being real and knowing that and accepting him as he is. Some of the story can tell you is he is who sent him out there in the boat. He did. He did. And he knew the storm was coming. And there are storms in life that he allows you to walk through. And in the midst of it, he's saying, you know, do you trust me? Is my presence enough for you? Is it enough? So when you consider, I think about the when Jesus when he was talking about loving them and being a friend that lays down his life, and this he was telling them this before he would go into the Garden of Gethsemane, where the night he was betrayed. But it goes to that question of trust. You think about friends in your own life that you say, no, I trust them. I trust them. And close friendships that if they call, you're not going to question them. You just trust them. And God is calling his people to trust him. And part of a friendship, none of us have had friendships where we just immediately gave 100% of our trust. The trust grew over time. But if you've been in those situations, I know there's people here that can testify to that, that in those moments, that in those dark moments, that they were able to have the Fisher, the seal eyes, that they could see, because as far as looking for God, just like frogfish, and the practices of looking for God in your life and knowing that he's there and training your eyes on him and experiencing his faithfulness. But before we leave that, just asking if I asked you this morning, what have you entrusted to Jesus Christ? What areas do you struggle, like the disciples, in trusting him? Have you trusted your life to him? Waylon was the fourth day that we had, and Waylon is a whale shark. How many of you guys are familiar with whale sharks? I really didn't know much about them. They're big. They're not whales. They're sharks, but they're very gentle. You think of a big shark, you think of, I don't want to be around it. Actually, whale sharks are very tame, and divers dive all around them. They can be up to 50 feet long. Humongous. But the thing about whale sharks is they can live a long, long time. Some scientists speculate up to 150 years. And so Waylon is a reminder that eternity is a long time and God is a friend forever. You know, when you encounter something big like a fish in water, I mean, it can be kind of intimidating because it's so massive and you feel so small. Well, our life right now can seem like a long time, and yet in when you put it up against the idea of eternity, it's very, very small. And that's why sometimes even death itself can be called the big one. When you come up to alongside of death and just the enormity of it, because the enormity of eternity. But when God's friendship is one that's forever, when you think of a friend, a forever friend, and one that you had forever, how rich that friendship is. But also, Ephesians 1:4 tells us that even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. How long ago was that? Well, that's eternity. Yeah, put your mind around that. How big of an idea, this idea of a relationship with God is, that God, before he made the world. This was already there. So in terms of all the things that we can run and chase after again in this life, when you just think about your life and your schedule right now and the busyness of life, that sporting events and everything and just relationships can sometimes languish and suffer because we're so busy. And yet God and this friendship that is so forever, and not only conceptually, but that he will not let go of us. How many of you, anybody had forever friends that are no longer forever friends because you got kicked to the curb? You know, I mean, that's part of the human experience, isn't it? Ronald Reagan, when he was elected president, was met by a fellow Republican senator, Howard Baker, on the steps of the Capitol. And he said, "Mr. President, I want you to know that I will be with you through thick." And Reagan said, "Well, what about thin?" "Welcome to Washington." Harry Truman said, "If you want a friend in Washington, get a dog." And yet God's friendship is one that is with a focus on eternity. And thinking about that in terms of your own relationship with God, and that one that's, it is an eternal friendship. And so we're reminding of what it cost him when we're going to take communion here. The last one is Octavia, which we didn't get to this week because it was a five-day program. However, worship team, in fact, you guys can come up at this time. Octavia is an octopus, and I like the wording there. It's like, you may not have eight arms, but you can reach out and share God's love with people around you. And it's like, you know, we've all been there where we said, man, you know, there's been moments where we wish it had a third hand or something like that. But that expression of, are you reaching in the sense that God's given you what you need? And your own hands, and as far as, you know, I like to say the right hand of fellowship and the left hand of invitation. And we experienced that this week. And one of the things that, as far as the importance of the reaching and just in the way that God has so many ways to reach people. And yeah, kids have the best questions. Chris was there's just an openness that they just ask that Jesus is saying, you need to get back to that spot where there's more of a clarity. But Philemon, there's a verse that I love about Philemon because we saw that this week with so many people helping. We had people that are here this morning. They weren't here all week, but they assisted monetarily. They said, do you have any needs? Let me know, because they're passionate about children's ministry. And so many people. But he says this, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Why? Thanks for asking. So that... for the purpose of that you who does the sharing will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. We saw so when you, it's one of those things when you step in and offer yourself to be used, and we had so many people offering of themselves, and yet Jesus said it's more blessed, you're more blessed to give than to receive, because there's so much you get back and there's so much that you grow in your own understanding of your relationship with God. Why? Because you are stepping in to his church on mission and being a part of sharing his message, whether it is doing it in the form of skits, or whether it's crew leaders or in the sound booth, or all of these different ways as far as being crew leaders and teen helpers, but just stepping in. And God says, and I know that if you ask them, they will tell you. They experience, there's a fullness in their heart. There's a closeness to God where he reveals himself. And they were the ones that were serving. They weren't the ones that were sitting and listening. And there's so much that you come to know God by when you step into what he is doing, loving as he loves, trusting him, and knowing that he's there forever. He's a faithful friend, and he's for everyone. That goes back to their, you know, is so often like Jonah, that there's people in your life that, you know, they don't really invite sympathy, empathy, and yet recognizing what is God's perspective on that person. And am I open? Is my life open? Am I willing to be available to the people around me in all of that? But coming back to that friend who's real, a friend who loves, a friend we can trust, a friend who is a friend forever, and a friend who is for everyone. Spoken from animals to fish, seals, octopuses, all of God's creation testifying back to his creator, who is, he is calling his people to a relationship, a friendship with him. Only made possible because of he moved first, that we can have a true friendship with God, a relationship with him. Please pray with me. Lord, I thank you for this week. I thank you for all the people that offered their lives in whatever they had, whether it was a day, whether it was an hour, Lord, or people just praying that were not a part of it, but praying for it, then they were a part of it. But Lord, ultimately being a part of your work, which is this amazing thing that we can have a relationship with the God of this universe. And we thank you, Lord, that through Christ, we are invited into that. May our lives continually reflect that friendship that we truly have with you, and that we be people of invitation for your glory. And all of God's people said, amen.